I'm Stacy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am so happy to be here and share my story today. I guess just 5 minutes. When I have 5 minutes left, you just let me know.
Okay, I sure will.
Right, and I'll start my timer as well. Okay, so I guess we'll just jump right in. So this is the first time sharing my story, and here we go. Hope it's beneficial for someone. For me, I started as a child. I didn't always have an issue with food. I had different ways of coping with my feelings through over time, and so you'll see in my story. But as a child, I was always really shy and very, very thin. When puberty came, I had a newfound self-hatred. I saw myself in the mirror, and I just saw a fat, ugly girl. Even though everyone made fun of me for being so skinny, so it wasn't what I saw in the mirror. My family life was kind of strange. At least I think it was. My older brother was kind of a problem child, so I was overlooked a lot, literally. My parents let me do whatever I wanted. They never checked where I said I was going to be. So that resulted in me losing my virginity to an 18-year-old when I was 13. So, but that was a changing point for me in my life. It changed everything. At that moment, I felt like someone really cared about me. I felt loved and I felt like I was special for a little bit. And my 13-year-old mind, that was everything. So that's what I did. Sex was what I liked. That's what I did because it made me feel good. People liked me, or at least that's what I thought. So I don't know. After that, started drinking because I was hanging out with a lot of older people and then doing drugs. Got my GED. My parents got divorced when I was 17, and I left home and traveled different states with different relationships, and just kind of was a vagabond, like traveling and doing nothing. And I went from one abusive relationship at one point in my life and started dating another man, and I got pregnant, and I was 25 and terrified. It was another changing moment in my life. So finding out I was pregnant, I quit drinking and eventually quit doing drugs and smoking cigarettes. I had neglected plants and even animals in my care, and I was so angry at God because how could he let this happened to me, that I was going to have a baby, and I thought I was going to be so neglectful and not know what I'm doing, that this baby's going to die. And I was like scared. I was angry. And at the same time, I was not on drugs or drinking anymore. So I was starting to have a clear head and starting to see myself as the person that I had been from 13 to now 26. And I hated what I saw. Oh my God, it was the worst feeling because I saw myself for who I really was. I felt so much regret. I hated myself, but really I was determined to be a better person because I had a baby now and I didn't know what I was doing, but I surely didn't want to do what I was doing now. At that point, clear-headed and feeling crazy. My son, by the way, at 2 years old, was diagnosed with autism. So there was that. So food became the band-aid for me to replace those other things that I had put away. And it was wonderful. I just dove right in with the food, with the parenting, with trying to change the per everything about myself. And made some progress in life, as the big book tells us that we look like we're doing great. And I was exercising a lot too, because I was eating a lot and it helped with my self-hate. I still looked in the mirror and hated what I saw, inside and out. So I was about 35 years old. My son was about 9. And he told me that I looked like I had a baby in my belly when I didn't. So why did that look like that? And yeah, he was right. I was gaining weight pretty rapidly at that point. Just eating, it became just a normal thing. My husband at that time traveled and he was gone so all the time. So I dealt with everything. And food was the way that I handled it. So I tried to lose weight and somehow became obsessed with food. I realized that I couldn't stop eating. I was stealing food from the Kitchen Network. I worked in the kitchen at that particular location. I was constantly thinking about what I was going to eat. I was planning and eating. As soon as I got home from work, I was eat until I fell asleep, and then get up at work and then go home and eat again. That was my cycle. I thought if I just ate healthier, then I would be okay. But I continued counting like obsessively every calorie I put in my body, every calorie I burned. It became like really very scary because I realized I couldn't lose weight and I couldn't stop eating. And I said to myself, I think I have a problem. And I didn't know what to do. And when I shared that with my friends, they were like, oh, just eat less and, just eat, And I don't know. They were trying to give me bad advice, unintentional, I'm sure, but I thought I was crazy. I had nowhere to go. And so I just kept eating. I had always been really thin. So the weight that I had gained, nobody seemed to care. I cared because I saw why, how I was getting that. The way that I was eating was just like a hungry dog standing over a garbage can, just like shoving it in. And I didn't do that around people. So I isolated. I was always just me at home doing that. And I knew I had the problem and I couldn't do anything. I didn't know what to do. So during COVID, a friend of mine suggested a self-help book. And I picked it up because I was desperate. And I did everything it said to do. And one of the chapters was about support groups. And OA was one of them listed. And I'd heard of it before. And I found online a women's meeting. So September 19th, 2021, I came into this particular meeting and I saw some of the faces that are here today. And as many of you may remember, I cried. I just cried through every meeting for weeks, but I kept coming back because I got acceptance. I felt love and understood. I felt like I'm not crazy. Like there's really something going on and there's hope. I had hope. I had hope for the first time in my life. Oh gosh, that changed me. That was another moment in life that changed everything for me. But me being me, I said, wow, this is great. They have a lot of good advice, but I don't think I need a sponsor. I don't think I need to work all the steps. I don't think I need to do all the tools. That's kind of a lot. So I tried to work them on my own. I did the steps 1, 2, and 3. And before I actually came to OA, it was in 2012, I was ordained as a minister in my faith. So step 1, 2, and 3, I'm like, I got this. Like, of course, I know my higher power. I know I got a problem. That's why I'm here. And of course, I'll give it to my higher power because me and him, we like that. But it didn't work. I kept binging. And my binges would even come into the meetings. It would be days and days where I could not stop. I might have one day where I restrict because I don't. Once I started eating, I just wouldn't stop. And I didn't know what to do because I'm like, I'm going to the meetings. It's not changing me. So I realized that maybe I might want to find a sponsor because everybody kept talking about how great it is. And so there was one particular person that had been at the meeting since the beginning and another meeting I was going to. And I really liked what she said, how she said it, her story, and everything she said made sense. So I asked her to be my sponsor, and thankfully she said yes. And that right there changed my progress because I started making progress. The reason was because not just working the program, which I was finally starting to do, I wasn't just doing the steps. My sponsor showed me how to dive into myself by asking me questions so that I can bring out what really am I feeling? What's going on? What's there? What am I holding on to? And she helped me to slowly clear away all of the things I've been holding on to, that regret, that self-hate, everything that I felt scared about and embarrassed about that ultimately was driving me to food. And that was the beginning of a relief for me. I no longer needed the food. I was only at a point then that I just wanted it. So I'm still working the steps using the tools that I found to be most helpful at that time in the beginning was meetings, my sponsor, chatting with my fellows, journaling, prayer, meditation. Those are the things that really, and still, not exactly in that order now, but are the most important things that help me. And so, in giving service, at that time, I didn't really know or think I was experienced enough to do that. So for me, giving service was at least trying to comment or say something in every meeting, because then I would be at least trying to give something. I learned a lot since I've been in program, so here I am still. And the most important thing I learned is how to rely on my higher power. Because, like I said, me and him, we're like that. We were great, but I didn't know that I was praying wrong. I was praying selfishly. Even when I was away from the food, I had a measure of sobriety. I was still almost demanding, or expecting. And yeah, I had the whole mindset wrong. And it took some time with just prayer, meditation, and my sponsor to be able to learn the way that that relationship really is supposed to work with my higher power. And it's really getting closer to him, that really started it. So that was a big thing for me. I learned how to treat myself with love. I learned that I deserve to be respected. And that was something that I didn't think ever because of the way that I live my life. I didn't deserve to be treated like, nice people because I wasn't that. And but I learned that no, that's not true. I really do. I should be respected as I should respect others. And so I learned how to stand up for myself in a respectful way. My husband didn't much like that. That was starting a little bit of problems, but yeah, I don't know. I see such a difference in myself from the person that I was to the person I am now. I actually have peace in me, in my mind, in my body. I don't need food. And the peace is not because life has gotten easier, for sure. It is not. Seems harder, I guess, because life just keeps happening. Just quickly, like my grandmother passed away in December last year. And then my other grandmother, who was like my best friend, in April passed away. In September, my mother, she died suddenly. Like I just saw her and then she was gone. So that happened. My husband threatens divorce pretty often. He was diagnosed with cancer recently. My son still has autism. And so life happens, right? But I have joy and peace every day. And I didn't have that before. And so the program has made such a difference in my life that when I was asked if I would tell my story might not be very interesting or different, but it has changed my life because I came here and I started with this very meeting. So I am so grateful, for one, for this meeting, but for OA as a whole. But this meeting just took me in and just held me, virtually, and just let me cry as I needed to cry and say what I needed to say. And they slowly like helped me to stand on that road to recovery. So I guess that's really all I got. So the things that my tips that I have is I don't count days because for me it drives me crazy. I still have slips, but I no longer binge. I still look at food like pornography sometimes, and then I go away from it. I mean, literally, so I have slips, and when I do, it's just because I forgot that I'm a compulsive overeater, not because I was. And sometimes it's because I was in a mood and I forgot at the same time. But there's a difference because when that happens, I can forgive myself. I'm no longer feeling terrible, like I'm unworthy, like, man, I'm just no good. I don't feel like that. I just look at myself. I tell my t say it to myself out loud to my higher power, and then tell my sponsor, and we evaluate what happened. And that's what I do. And so I can leave it and figure out what it was and move on. The 10th step has been really, really vital for me because it helps me to keep that wreckage that I've cleared away. The new wreckage, it helps me to not hold on to it. Like I recognize where my part was. And like I had mentioned, like my husband getting upset because I stand up for myself. sometimes I stand up for myself a little too boldly, and I don't have to do that. And so I find myself having to apologize, which I just had to the other day. And I hate apologizing, but I do it, and I do it because I let it go, and I really mean my sincere apology, and I move on, and I don't have to eat. I don't keep it, I let it go. And so I love that. So anyway, one more thing is I don't look at the scale. I had one woman in the group mention that she didn't look at the scale. And I thought, how brilliant. So I never looked at the scale for a long time. Eventually I did lose the weight that I had gained regained, but it took a while, and I was in program for a while before it started to even come off. And so anyone who that might be the issue for, just keep on doing the right thing, and it'll happen. So it did take a while, but now I'm able to look at the scale, but I don't really much anymore. I don't need it, right? So before I go, I just want to say that the road to recovery is a lifelong journey. Sometimes we're walking and running and doing great. Sometimes we slip, sometimes we fall, but as long as we stay on the road, we are on the road to recovery. Because that's what I think of. I might have slipped, but I'm on the road. So anyway, I guess that's all I got. And that was fun. So thanks for that. And I guess I will pass a little early.